Hey, everybody. Hope you had a great Christmas. It is time for Full Draw Friday, number 93. We haven't got one of these out in a while. The Deer Season Dailies kind of took over the podcast there throughout the month of November, but I'm ready to get back after it. We're going to have Austin back on some point in the near future. We talked about maybe after next week getting back on a regular schedule for that because we got New Year's right smack in the middle of next week too. So things are starting to slow down a little bit with the season, obviously, up at the shop. So we're getting to a point where we can get schedules lined up. But on this episode, I'm going to talk about hunting the late season without food. We all know that the key to late season is food for these mature bucks. However, even though that might be the best place to find them, it's not the only place to find them, and it's not the only place to kill them either. A lot of people, I'm sure a lot of you guys, don't have access to really good food throughout the late season. If you're not over a cut cornfield or a bean field that maybe still has some beans in it, or a food plot where you've left those crops, or a green food source, or if your farmer on your where you're hunting doesn't have winter wheat, maybe you just have timber to hunt, maybe you just got CRP. None of those places where you don't have that stuff are great to hunt these bucks in the late season if you're just focused on food and if you think food is the only place that you can hunt them. However, you can still get it done on those types of properties, and that's what I'm going to talk about here on Full Draw Friday 93. But before that, don't forget about Rack's Big Game Supplements. This is, and we're getting into the most important time of the year, I feel like, if you're going to run supplements, minerals, protein, feed, all that kind of stuff, because the natural browse is being depleted day by day. It's getting less and less, and it's only going to get worse until spring green up. These deer, especially the bucks coming out of the rut, they ran themselves ragged, especially depending on your doe population. So they're trying to recover, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But what can you do to help them? Even if you can't, even if you can't do food plots, even if you can't plant or have your farmer leave crops for them, if you're in a state where you can use mineral and supplements and protein, this is the time of year where that stuff really shines. It's not magic. It's not going to make 130-inch deer, 170-inch deer in 1 year, but it's going to make them as healthy as possible so that not only will they be able to survive the winter and be healthier, recover from the rut better with better health, they're also going to go into the start of their antler growing season with better health, which means they can focus, their bodies can focus more on putting inches into antler instead of putting body weight back on for those first few months of their antlers growing back. So give them a head start. Go over to racksbiggame.com and see everything that they have to offer. Also, Rodney Hawkins at RG Outdoors and Midwest Farm and Land. He is going to help you out with sporting goods stuff at RG Outdoors. You can check them out on Facebook. Excuse me. Or you can go to Midwest Farm and Land and find anything that they have as far as real estate goes. He's a land agent with them. You can also talk to him directly at 618-925-3153, and he can get you figured out anything you're looking for, whether you're trying to sell or buy, and again, at RG Outdoors as well. So let's get into it. Everyone knows, like I said, food is the key to late season hunting. You may be saying, well, if I don't have food to hunt, how is it still the key? Because the deer don't care whether you have food to hunt or not. That's where they're going to be. That's kind of the harsh reality of it. However, just because you don't have it doesn't mean you shouldn't focus on it. You may not be able to hunt right on it. You may not be able to hunt close to it. If you can, absolutely do that. But if you can't, don't throw away the late season just because you don't have the food. They still have to get to the food through somewhere, and they still have to bed somewhere. And that's what I'm going to talk about here, because those are going to be the places you're going to find these deer. If you can't sit in a blind over an awesome food source, which is like the best case scenario for late season hunting, if you can set that up for yourself, absolutely, that's the best way to get it done. Especially if you're a gun hunter and you have a late winter like muzzleloader or something where you can shoot a buck, like what we just had in Illinois. If you've got standing beans on a warmer day or a mowed cornfield with some standing corn in it on a cold day, and you can sit in a box blind over that and shoot 200 yards, you're going to have a really good shot at a really good chance at having a shot at a mature buck if there's one still in your area. But even if you don't have that, let's say you've got, like I said earlier, this CRP field that you're hunting, or you're only in the timber, you can still get it done. It's just going to be tougher. It is what it is. Like I said, those are the ideal scenarios where you have that set up, even if it's not a box blind, just a stand over a green food plot is going to be good, especially on a day like today when it's 65 degrees. But even if you don't have that, you can still do it. It's just going to be tougher. It is what it is. And like I said, the other two places that you're going to find them. So mainly these mature bucks are going to spend their time in three places during the late season. They're going to be on the food sources, sometimes in daylight, more so in daylight now than almost any other time of year, definitely more than any other time of the season. I would argue that August and into September, they're more daylight active in food sources when they're still in velvet. But at least throughout the season, they're going to be more daylight active over food during this December to January than any other time. So if they're daylight active in the food, it also means they're daylight active on the way to the food. So like in the early season, you can kind of go back to that mindset if you're looking at travel corridors. They have to get up out of their bed earlier to get to the food earlier in the late season. So if you go back to what you were doing in early season where they were getting up out of their bed later and getting to the food after dark, where do you have to go to find them in the daylight? On those travel corridors. Same idea. They're going to be on those travel corridors in the daylight even earlier now, though, than they were in the early season. And that might shift. Those travel corridors are going to shift because where they're feeding is going to be different from the early season, of course. And where they're bedding might be a little bit different as well, because when all this foliage comes off the trees and the bushes and leaves are gone and things are turning gray and brown and there's not a lot of good thermal cover when it gets really cold, they're probably going to have to shift to a different place, not only for thermal cover, but also just to stay hidden as far as vision goes. So while it can be similar to the early season, you don't want to just go back to those early season setups because a lot of things have changed since then. But the mindset can be similar, especially if you're in those places where you don't have food to hunt anyway. This is when the combination scouting that we talk about a lot comes into play. And what I mean by combination scouting is old school, if you will, tactics, boots on the ground, looking for buck sign, deer sign, looking for leaves that are turned over, looking for tracks and obvious trails, rubs and scrapes, of course. They're not going to be as prevalent as they were, but you could still find them. Combining that kind of stuff, and even just, you know, eyes on deer while you're hunting and seeing what they're doing, combining that with the new school scouting of using Onyx or Hunt Stand or the big one that I'm forgetting, something Forage. Can't even remember it right now. Sorry to them. I know it's a great app too. They say I've never used it, but using that kind of stuff along with trail cameras, cell cameras especially, combining those two types of scouting. This is the time of year where that really can benefit you because you can figure out what they're doing and where those places are where you're going to find them in your situation. And the first thing you got to do, like I said, figure out where they're feeding. You can use Onyx to kind of figure out where the nearest food source is. Maybe it's a big ag field. Maybe your neighbors have food plots. Then do some road scouting. If there's roads around those food sources, drive around in one afternoon, give up an afternoon of hunting, and go see where these deer are congregating, even if you're not seeing the bucks. So the does are going to be out there early, as really early in the late season, especially on one of those cold days, especially if there's a front moving through. So if you're finding where these does are congregating, that's probably where the bucks are going to be later as well. It's not like other times of the year where these bucks are really trying to separate themselves from the does and fawns and younger bucks, because even though they'd probably still prefer that, the food sources are so limited that they're all going to be pretty congregated in similar places. That's where you see these guys on YouTube or TV that are hunting these late season food sources, and there's just tons of deer pouring in, and then eventually the big buck comes in the field. Does he necessarily want to be around all those other deer? Maybe not, but he has to be because that is where the best food source is. So you got to find those best food sources where they're feeding. Take notes of like what the wind was, what the temperature was, just overall, what the weather was like. Was it raining? Was the rain coming in, or snow, or a cold front, whatever? And write that down somewhere too, because say there's two good food sources in an area, they may use one on one wind or one type of weather and one on the other. I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Usually, if it's warmer, like seasonally average, they're going to be on beans if there's beans available. If it's warmer, if it's that temperature to warmer. If there's a green food source, they're going to want to be in the green food source. If it's really cold, that's when they really go to the corn, in my experience, because they need those carbs to help keep them warm, give them energy so they don't freeze out. So that's something you might kind of keep in mind as well. If you can tell that there's a bean field on one side or a big, maybe your neighbors have a big bean food plot, and then on the other side there's a cut corn field from a farmer, keep in mind that where he's bedding, he might go one direction or the other based on the temperatures. It could be something as simple as that. So find where they are feeding, even if you can't hunt it, because that's going to tell you where you need to focus your attention on your boots on the ground scouting. So now after you figured that out, okay, I can't hunt that field, but I know my property borders that one on this side where they're potentially coming from. Now I'm going to get in there. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to look for that sign. Like I said earlier, scout your way through the timber, find those trails going to the food sources, coming from what are potentially bedding areas, south-facing slopes especially, because they're getting the good sunlight throughout the day, good thermal cover. That could be pine trees with a bunch of needles on the ground, cedar trees especially. It could just be big, thick, like multiflower rose or honeysuckle or something like that that's breaking the wind for them. Those kind of areas are where they're likely going to bed. So if you can find those trails that are going towards that food source or towards that bedding, then you can go to the new school stuff, take out your camera, throw it up, and see if there's a buck around that you want to spend time hunting in that area. That those bedding areas also are going to be the way you kind of can decipher, okay, is this a doe bedding area or a buck bedding area? Earlier in the season, it's somewhat easier to tell because there'll be a lot more buck sign around those buck bedding areas. Now, this time of year, you might stumble across what looks like a buck bed. It's got a bunch of rubs on it, but none of them are really fresh. It's got some scrapes coming out of it or going into it, whichever way they're moving. However, it looks like it hasn't been used in a while. That buck was probably bedding there in November, in October, but now he's moved on to a different spot, right? But it was easier to tell then because it had all that buck sign around it. Now, there may be a little bit of buck sign around where he's bedding, but not nearly as much as when his testosterone level is really high and when he was fired up for the rut. So what you can do is find the closest available bedding to that food source, what you think might be the closest available bedding, and look around it. If you're seeing beds there, that is likely where the does are staying, especially, you know, if it's multiple beds of different sizes, all that kind of stuff, where does and fawns, smaller bucks, they're going to want a bed as close to the food as possible, and they don't care as much about the safety. The big mature buck still cares about his safety, so he's willing to go a little bit farther to find even better cover and have to travel a little bit to get to the food. Now, he probably doesn't want to have to go 2 miles because he's going to be burning too much energy and he's not going to make it through a really harsh winter. But he's going to bed behind those does because he doesn't want the stress of being around all of them still, because he's had enough stress. He's had enough of the does at this point and the fawns. But he also is going to be in the next best available security cover, thermal cover, past those does in the food source. Now, that doesn't mean you might not see a buck bedding right on a food source. It absolutely could happen, especially depending on the doe numbers in your area, what other bedding is available. If you have a ton of good bedding and he feels safe and the does aren't bothering him right next to the food, then why wouldn't he bed right there, right? But most of the time, your does are going to bed close to the food and then your bucks are going to bed back off of them. That's why we talk about depth of bedding a lot when we do these consultations and stuff, giving yourself room for does to bed close to the food, and then you lengthen your available bedding area because those bucks are, now they have more space behind them. Whereas if your first available bedding is 100 yards off your food plot, well, then you're 100 yards farther. You've lost 100 yards of potential bedding for your buck. Excuse me. So keep all that stuff in mind, and you can figure out where these bucks are bedding. You know where they're feeding, and now, like I said, you set those trail cameras up, especially if you see maybe a rub or a scrape or two on the way to that food. Decide if it's a buck that you want to hunt. And if you don't have cameras, if you're completely going no technology on this, look for that buck sign. Rubs, scrapes, again, they're not going to be as prevalent as they were in November, but you can still find them, and that means there's a buck in the area. Does still aren't rubbing on trees. They don't have antlers to do that. You can also look for big tracks. Now, that doesn't always mean it's a big buck. It doesn't even always mean it's a buck, but it does mean it's not just little does and fawns and smaller deer, right? So If you're finding big tracks, if you're finding rubs, if you're finding scrapes, decent chance that might be a good buck in that area. So crash in on those spots. You don't have to sit right on top of the bed like you did in early season, like I said earlier, where you got to go back even farther because they're getting up so much earlier. You could hunt them on those travel corridors farther from their bed. You don't have to take a chance of them seeing you or smelling you or hearing you. And this time of year, with all the leaves off, they're going to be able to see farther and see danger coming. So you can actually back off that bed a little bit. That's a little bit different mindset from the early season, of course, where you're trying to get maybe as close to that bed as you think you can safely. Now you can back off a little bit because he might be getting up at 1 o'clock to get to that food by 3. So you got a chance, you got plenty of time to get him on that travel corridor where he's going to be coming to you. You don't have to be right. Don't get right on top of the trail either. Give yourself obviously some space to shoot. It's going to help you out as far as movement and all that stuff. You don't want them coming like right up out of a bedding area and looking at you while you're sitting right on their trail. I heard, you know, talking about where to sit on that trail kind of at some midway point, maybe err on the bedding side if you're hunting the evenings, which is mostly what I'm talking about here because mornings can be really tricky this time of year. But hunt maybe a little bit closer to that bedding side, but somewhere towards the middle of a halfway point between the bed and the food. And I heard Roger Ragland explain this one time and give an analogy. It's like, think about when you're driving to work and then when you're coming home. So you leave your driveway, you're right around your house, you're in your neighborhood, you kind of notice everything because you see it every day and you're paying attention to stuff around. Oh, hey, the neighbor needs to mow his yard, or looks like this time of year, looks like Joe's kids got some new presents. They got a new swing set for Christmas. You notice that kind of stuff. And the farther out you get from your neighborhood, the more you're just focused on the road and, okay, man, what do we got to do at work today? I got this project I got to worry about. And all you're kind of paying attention to is the road and what's right in front of you. And then as you get closer to work, which would be the food source in this case, obviously your house being the bedding, as you get closer to work, which would be the food source, you start noticing things again. Oh, hey, so-and-so got a new truck, or it looks like Jimmy got new wheels on his truck for Christmas, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Hey, they're working on gate 3 over here, or dock number 4 has something different going on over there. You start noticing stuff again as you get to work, you get closer to work, right? Or even you back that out a little bit, hey, that stoplight's not working, or they're doing some work on the side of the road. As you get closer to work again, you start noticing more stuff. So that middle part is where you're not paying nearly as much attention to your surroundings, and the deer are the same way. Their beds, they know those. If you move something around in their bed, it's just like someone going in your living room and moving a lamp. You're going to notice it. If you go to their food source, and every day they go to this food source, there's nothing up in that tree. But now all of a sudden, even if they can't tell what it is, there's something different up there, and it just isn't right, they're going to go somewhere else. They might just turn and walk off. However, in the middle of that, all they know is they're on their way from that bed to the food, and they're focused on getting to the food. And while they're paying more attention than we do, obviously, because they're a little bit more in tune with their surroundings, that is when they're going to be the most vulnerable because they're paying the least amount of attention. It's also a bigger area, so more stuff changes, right? And they don't take exactly the same route to the food source every day. So the wind comes in and blows tree limbs down all the time in the woods, might blow a tree down. That's stuff that they're just kind of used to. So a blob in a tree is not going to mean as much to them or a little bit of movement in one is not going to mean as much to them halfway between their bed and the food as it would real close to the bedding or real close to the food. So keep that in mind. Again, I can't take credit for that. That was a Roger Ragland analogy I heard way back in the day, and I've always thought about that when I'm setting up, especially late season, because if I'm in a place where I don't have the food to hunt, those travel corridors between the two are going to be your best place. If you're trying to hunt the mornings, you can't go through the food. You can try to go to their bedding areas, and you can hunt them there too as well. But honestly, the next best place to hunting over food is the travel between the two. Make sure your wind's still good, all of that stuff. You don't want it blowing either direction to their food or their bedding. Try to set up on the downwind side of that trail and give yourself a good shot and set up as close to halfway between the two as you can. If you got a good buck in the area, I think you're going to have a good chance at them. They are as predictable as they ever are throughout the season this time of year, because even though mature bucks don't like to do the same thing day after day, right now if they've found a good food source, if it's the best one in the area and the weather's staying the same, they're very likely to do the same thing day after day, or at least, you know, 3 or 4 times in a 6-7 day span. So if you don't have access to food, don't be discouraged. You can absolutely still fill that tag using those strategies. If you do, let us know. I'd love to hear about it. Send us some pictures. You guys can send them to our social media as well. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. Obviously, if you're not watching the video, if you are watching the video, you are on YouTube. And you guys can subscribe, like, comment, all that kind of stuff. If you're not, the YouTube is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We just passed 13,000 subscribers on there. Super excited about that. Appreciate all of you guys tuning in and listening every week. We've had a banner year for Ridge Hunter Outdoors. It has exceeded expectations. I'm going to talk more about that probably on Monday's episode. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll see you then.